Best Trick-Taking Card Games 2026 Modern Classics Beyond Spades and Hearts. Hi, this is Yumi. Let us make your next game night a very good one. Welcome in. Come sit. There's a whole shelf of these by the window, and I've been quietly arranging them for years, so let me pour you something warm and play hostess. A trick-taking game is the gentlest thing in the world. Everyone plays one card to the middle, the strongest wins the little pile, we call it the trick. And then you do it again until your hand is empty. Your grandmother almost certainly knew a few by heart. Whist, hearts, spades, euchre, bridge, pinochle, these games are centuries old, and they've never left any table they landed on. The mechanic lives in your hands the moment you understand it. But here's what made me arrange this shelf the way I did. Designers have spent the last decade asking what if we broke the old rules with kindness. What if the whole table won together instead of fighting? What if a card had no color until the moment you played it? What if two players could sit across from each other, painted like something from a storybook, and learn not to get greedy? The genre didn't disappear, it transformed asterisk. It became bigger, warmer, fresher. So here's how I seat you. Below you'll find 10 games I genuinely love, ranked with honest hearts and gentle truths. A perfect gateway, a cooperative that makes crews out of strangers. A tiny treasure, a brain bender, a beautiful illustrated dream, a party game that scales all the way up. And a reverent bow to the timeless canon, with exactly where to find a good deck to play them with. We don't sell anything here at Puzzlewick. We just point you to the maker, no markup, and watch your face light up when you realize it's perfect. Pull up a chair. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What exactly is a trick-taking game and why has the genre exploded again? Let me explain it the way I'd explain it across the table because it's genuinely simple. A trick is one round where every player lays down a single card, face up into the middle. The first card played sets the suit you must follow. If a heart is led, you play a heart if you can. Whoever played the highest card of that led suit or the highest trump, a suit crowned all-powerful for the hand, wins the trick and gathers those cards. Then the winner leads the next trick. Repeat until hands are empty, tally up, deal again. That's the whole skeleton. Hearts, spades, euchre, whist, bridge, pinochle. Every one of them is a variation on follow the suit, take the trick, manage what you can and can't win. The art is in what each game asks of you. You wanna take the most tricks, the fewest, or exactly the number you predicted. That single question creates wildly different games. The reason the shelf is bursting in 2026 is that modern designers stopped treating the format as a fixed entity. They asked, what if the players cooperate instead of compete? The crew, what if you don't even have suits, just numbers in a row? Scout, what if a card's color is undecided until you commit it? Cat in the box, the bones are ancient and beloved, the muscles are brand new. That combination, instantly familiar, endlessly fresh, is exactly why I never run out of things to set on this table. First time. You already know how to play if you've ever played Crazy Eights, Uno, or Go Fish. You'll have a trick taker figured out in about 90 seconds. Need a card. Everyone follows the suit if they can, highest one wins the pile. Start with the fox in the forest or wizard, both teach the whole genre gently, and nobody at the table needs prior experience. The one habit that makes you good immediately, count the suit. When a suit gets led and a player can't follow, they play off suit or trump. They're now void in it, they have none left. Remembering who's void in what is 80 of trick-taking skill. Veterans aren't reading minds, they're just tracking which suits each player ran out of. Which trick-taking game is the best place to start? If a friend asked me to pick one game to fall in love with a genre, I'd reach for the fox in the forest without hesitating. It's built for exactly two people, it's painted like a storybook. And it teaches you the single most delightful tension in all of trick-taking. You wanna win tricks but win too many and you're punished as greedy. That little rule turns a simple game into a real conversation between two players. For three or more, Wizard is my gateway of choice. And at well under $10 from its maker, it's almost rude how good it is. Every round you must predict exactly how many tricks you'll take. Then try to hit that number on the nose. Bit too high, bit too low, both hurt. It scales from 3 to 6 players, the rounds get longer as you go. And it has just enough chaos, those wizard and jester cards to keep a new player laughing instead of overwhelmed. The beauty of starting here is that everything you learn transfers. Once follow the suit, mind your trumps, watch whose void lives in your hands, every other game on this list opens up to you. These two are the gentle front door, and I'd happily seat anyone at them, expert or absolute beginner. Wizard's secret. Bidding zero is powerful. New players assume a strong hand means bidding high. Often the cleanest points come from bidding zero and dumping your high cards early when you're forced to. A confident zero bid perfectly hit frustrates everyone at the table in the most delightful way. Hearts and spades are where you stop, not where you start. It's heresy to some. But the free games bundled with your computer are not the best on-ramp. The Fox in the Forest and Wizard teach the genre's ideas more clearly, more beautifully, and with less baggage than Hearts. Then you can return to the classics and finally see why they've lasted a century. Can a trick-taking game be cooperative, everyone against the box? This is the question that made the whole genre new again, and the answer is a resounding yes. The crew both asterisk The Quest for Planet 9 and its standalone follow-up asterisk mission Deep Sea asterisk is a fully cooperative trick-taker. Nobody wins alone. The table is handed a mission. Anna must win a green 4, Ben must take the very last trick. And you all win or all lose together. It won Germany's prestigious Kennerspiel des Jahres, the Connoisseur's Game of the Year award, and it deserved every bit of it. The genius is what it forbids. You may not tell each other your cards. You can drop one carefully timed hint per game, this is my highest heart. And the rest is read entirely through which cards people choose to play and when. A trick you'd normally fight to win, you now deliberately asterisk throw so a teammate can grab the card they need. It's the same ancient skeleton follow suit, take tricks, pointed at a shared puzzle instead of at each other. I've watched strangers become a crew over a single mission. For two players specifically, the Fox in the Forest duet takes the same beloved art and makes it cooperative. You and a partner move a shared marker along a forest path, working together to collect gems without overshooting. If your table likes solving over scrapping, start here, it's the warmest seat I can offer. Spend your one hint at the perfect moment in the crew, your single communication token is precious. Don't blurt it on turn one. Hold it until the table hits a genuine fork. A moment where knowing your highest or only card of a suit actually unlocks the mission. A hint played late is worth three played early. Why reviewers call it the gateway to hobby, Games the Crew is frequently recommended as the game that converts casual players into hobbyists. Precisely because nobody gets eliminated and nobody gets ganged up on, you fail together and immediately want to retry the level. It's 50, Planet 9 and 32, Deep Sea escalating missions give it a campaign-like pull. What's the smartest modern twist on the formula for players who want depth? When someone tells me they already love the classics and want their brain genuinely bent, I bring out Cat in the Box, Deluxe Edition. Here's the trick that makes veterans grin. The cards have no color until you play them. Your hand is just numbers. When it's your turn, you asterisk declare a color for the card as you play it, but once any specific number and color combination has been claimed this round, it's locked, and no one including you may claim it again. Play a color you can no longer legally support and you cause a paradox you bust, and you lose points. It's Schrödinger's Trick Taker, and the theme leans straight into it. The reason it earns the word asterisk, deep asterisk, is that you're managing information that doesn't exist yet. You're not just playing your hand. You're shaping the shared reality of what colors remain possible, while bidding on how many tricks you'll take and racing to claim space on a central board. It rewards exactly the players who have worn grooves into hearts and spades and won a fresh mountain to climb. For a different flavor of depth, Stitch Elm, a 1993 Klaus Palsch design, reprinted in English as Stick M asterisk, remains a cult favorite among the cognoscenti. Each hand you secretly choose a pain suit, and every card you take in that color scores brutal negative points. It's nastier, sharper, and more confrontational than the cozy co-ops. And some players adore it for exactly that. Cat in the Box is the best, real trick-taker of the modern wave. The crew gets the headlines for being cooperative. But for players who want a competitive game that actually advances the genre's ideas, Cat in the Box is the more important design. Declaring suits on the fly is the freshest core mechanic trick-taking has gained in years. It changes how you think about following suit itself. Watch the board fill, not just your hand in Cat in the Box. The closing positions on the central research board are as valuable as winning tricks, and they run out. Don't fixate so hard on bidding that you forget to claim board space. The endgame points often hide there, not in the tricks themselves. Which trick-taking games are the most beautiful or the most fun for a crowd? Some games earn their place on the shelf just by being lovely to look at, and The Fox in the Forest Family, both the competitive original and the cooperative Asterisk duet, leads that pack. The cards are illustrated like pages from a fairy tale book. Foxes, swans, woodcutters, treasure, and each character card carries a small rule-bending power. It's the game I hand to someone who says, "I don't really like card games." The art does half the convincing before the rules ever start. When the room fills up, though, you want a game that welcomes a crowd rather than buckling under one. Skull King is my party hero. A swashbuckling pirate trick taker for 2 to 8 players where, like Wizard, you bid the exact number of tricks you'll win each round, but pirates, mermaids, krakens, and the dreaded Skull King himself crash into the math and turn a confident bid into chaos. It scales beautifully, plays in well under an hour, and packs down to almost nothing, which makes it a travel and game night staple. And if you want pure tiny delight for up to 5, Scout belongs in any crowd-pleaser conversation. It's technically a ladder-climbing cousin of trick-taking rather than a strict trick-taker, but it lives on the same shelf in every hobbyist's mind and earned a Spiel des Jahres nomination. Each card is double-sided, you may not rearrange your hand, and you either beat the current play or scout a card from it into your own, simple enough for anyone, sneaky enough to keep grown-ups scheming. Big group, mixed ages. Reach for Skull King. Skull King is rated for ages 8 and up and stretches to 8 players, which makes it one of the few genuinely good trick takers for a full multi-generational table. Kids grasp the pirate cards instantly, the bidding keeps the adults honest. It's the closest thing to a universal crowd pleaser on this list. Scout's rule that breaks everyone's brain at first: you cannot reorder your hand in Scout. The order you're dealt is the order you keep. So your real skill is reading the sequence you're stuck with and choosing whether to play a combo now or scout a single card to set up a stronger run later. Patience and a good scout beat a flashy early play almost every time. What about the traditional canon: Whist, Euchre, Pinochle, and where do I buy a good deck? Let's not forget why we're all here. Before any box game existed, there was a standard deck and 100 years of families playing Whist, Euchre, Hearts, Spades, Oh Hell, Pinochle, Bridge, Briscola, and Scopa around the kitchen table. These are still, pound for pound, some of the greatest trick-taking games ever devised, and the entire library costs you the price of one deck of cards. That's the most honest value on this whole page, and I'd be a poor hostess not to point at it plainly. For nearly everything in the English-speaking canon, Whist, Hearts, Spades, Oh Hell, even four-player Euchre, a single standard 52-card deck is all you need. Pinochle wants its own 48-card Pinochle deck, two copies each of 9 through Ace, which Bicycle also makes for just a few dollars. My gentle hostess's counsel: buy one good standard deck, learn Euchre and Hearts and Oh Hell from it this month, and you'll understand asterisk why every fancy box on this list exists. The new games are wonderful, but they're all paying homage to these. One deck, the whole canon, that's a lifetime of trick-taking for under $20. Why hobbyists still swear by Oh Hell Oh Hell, the public domain Bijou Exact Tricks game that Wizard, Rage, and Skull King all dress up, remains a forum favorite for groups of 3 to 10 because it needs nothing but a regular deck and scales effortlessly. Many seasoned players will tell you it's the purest expression of the predict your tricks idea, and it's completely free to learn. Final verdict: if you take one game home from my table, make it The Crew. Mission Deep Sea. It's the rare trick taker that seats a total newcomer and a grizzled bridge veteran at the same mission and makes them a crew. For two players, The Fox in the Forest is the gorgeous gateway. For a brain bender, Cat in the Box, deluxe for the whole rowdy room, Skull King. And for the unbeatable best value of all, a single bicycle deck unlocks Whist, Euchre, Hearts, Spades, and Oh Hell for the price of a coffee. Remember, we don't sell any of these. Every link points you straight to the maker or a trusted retailer. No markup from us. We just love seeing the right game land on the right table. Come back anytime, the kettle's always on. Frequently asked questions: what is a trick-taking card game? A trick-taking game is one where each round every player lays down a single card into the middle. The first card sets the suit you must follow. If you can, the highest card of that suit, or the highest trump, a suit crowned all-powerful for the hander, wins the pile of cards called the trick. Whoever wins leads the next trick. You repeat until hands are empty, then score. Hearts, Spades, Euchre, Whist, Bridge, and Pinochle are all classic trick-taking games. What's the best trick-taking game for beginners? For 3 or more, Wizard US both welcome players who have never tried a trick-taker. If you'd rather cooperate than compete, the crew is approachable too because nobody gets eliminated. Can trick-taking games be cooperative? Yes, that's the biggest modern innovation in the genre. The crew, both Quest for Planet 9 and Mission Deep Sea, is fully cooperative. The table shares one mission and wins or loses together with almost no talking allowed. The Fox in the Forest Duet is a cooperative version for exactly two players. These cooperative trick takers are some of the friendliest entry points to the hobby because there's no player elimination and no ganging up. What's the difference between the crew, Mission Deep Sea and Quest for Planet 9? Both are standalone cooperative trick takers by Thames and Cosmos, and you only need one. Quest for Planet 9, 3-5 players, is the original Kenner Spiel des Jahres winner with 50 fixed missions. Mission Deep Sea, 2-5 players, is the newer follow-up, with a flexible objective card system that makes its 32 levels more replayable and supports two players. If you want one game, most people pick Mission Deep Sea. If you want the cheapest classic, Planet 9 is excellent. What's the best trick-taking game for a big group or party? Wizard 3-6 and the public domain classic Oh Hell 3-10, plays with a standard deck are also excellent for crowds. All three use the bid exactly how many tricks you'll take format, which keeps everyone engaged every single round. Do I need a special deck or can I use regular cards? The modern box games, The Crew, Cat in the Box, Scout, etc., come with their own custom cards. Is Scout actually a trick-taking game? Strictly speaking, Scout is a ladder-climbing or shedding game rather than a pure trick-taker. There's no following suit or winning a central pile of cards, but it lives on the same shelf in nearly every fan's mind, shares the same DNA of reading the table and playing the right card at the right moment, and is so beloved it earned a Spiel des Jahres nomination, that it belongs in any modern trick-taking conversation. Purists will note the distinction, everyone else will just have fun. Which trick-taking game has the most strategic depth? For a nastier, more confrontational classic, Stichelm reprinted as Stick M has you secretly pick a pain suit that scores brutal negative points. Among traditional games, Bridge and Pinnacle remain the deepest of all with lifetimes of strategy behind them. What do Trump, Following Suit, and Void mean? Following suit means playing a card of the same suit that was led you're usually required to if you have one. Trump is a suit, or special cards, crowned all-powerful for the hand. Any trump beats any non-trump, so a low trump can steal a trick from a high card of another suit. A player is void in a suit when they have none left, which is why they're allowed to play off-suit or trump, and tracking who's void is the single most useful trick-taking skill.